The heart of Christmas brings joy in all circumstances. Seems like, I think it's safe to say, that there are circumstances that take place in life that will want to rob us of our joy. Am I correct in that? I hope so. Some of people, you're like, yeah, yes, definitely so. And Jesus' birth reminds us that no matter how hard life is, we don't have to go through it alone. God has come to fill us with grace and with truth, and should also, that in itself should bring us joy, not just sometimes, but just thinking on that should bring us joy all the time. We can trust that Jesus' presence is with us, and we reveal the truth about our lives, and at the same time offer us grace. Grace. Let's pray. Father God, overwhelm us with your joy, that joy unspeakable. Show us the meaning and purpose of true love as we look at the birth of Christ with eager eyes. Let our joy be continuous to those around us. Light us up. Light us up with your love, grace, truth, and with your joy. In your name I pray. Amen. So this morning we're especially if you have kids in the house, you know that Christmas is coming, you know. Kids are always, and sometimes big kids too, you know, they're looking under the tree, you know, they're the anticipation of Christmas morning, being able to open up our gifts. We are in the middle of this sermon season, discovering the heart of Christmas. It can easily be lost in all the distractions that are going on, like my brother spoke of earlier in our prayer, not letting the decorations and parties and all that stuff keep us from focusing on what the true meaning of Christmas is all about. Those gifts that he has given us in love, peace, joy, and hope. And this is the real reason for the season. The first week we learned we offered hope in the middle of our circumstances because our God is faithful. Last week we looked at the gift of peace at Jesus' sacrifice makes available to us. And we are made right with God ourselves and others because of Christ. And so this week we're going to be introducing that peace called joy, that gift of joy, that no matter what our circumstances, no matter what's going on, we need to have that joy unspeakable. There's that song that I don't know, some of us, you know, were raised up with joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. There's joy unspeakable and full of glory. All that half has never been. You have yet to be told. And so that half that is yet to be told, that I look forward to that part being demonstrated. How many of you have ever, okay, you know, you could either just raise your hand, have been like super, I won't say surprised so much that there's so much joy that you received. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. One time, Nora and I, we went to a restaurant, and it was a nice restaurant, you know. And so we go to pay for the bill, and the bill's been paid. Would that give you joy? If you went to a nice restaurant, I mean, you know, a nice restaurant. I'm not talking like Arby's or something, right? You know, I'm talking about a real nice restaurant. You go there, and you know, the one that you order hors d'oeuvres, you know, and you get the shrimps and all that stuff, right? Yeah. And so, would you find joy in that? Yes, no, maybe. All right. How about this? How about, like, I know that my favorite coffee place is right here across the street from us and right next to us. And, you know, every once in a while, you know, I'll go up and get coffee, and then I'll get my favorite coffee, and then the barista will say, oh, it's already been paid. The person in front of you paid for it. I'm like, wow. I'm like, I find joy in that. You know, I've got this, you know, fresh coffee. It's free, and whoo, how many of you would not feel that same kind of joy if all of a sudden, you know, your coffee, somebody paid, you don't even know them. They just wanted to give a little love to you, right? What would you say, my last one, because some people on Christmas Day, they're waiting for that snow, that Christmas joy, that the joy of Christmas and the snow falling. I think some of us would find joy unless you're the person who has to move the snow down the driveway. So I don't know how much joy there is there, but there's definitely some joy in there being a white Christmas. And so maybe some of these you find some joy in. This week's message is important because for us, our joy is reflective of this scenario, this illustration. You had joy because you had something right then to be joyous about. Oh, I got a free dinner, and oh, my fresh cup of joe, you know. You have something to be happy with. Our joy in life is largely connected to the circumstances. When things are going well, okay, but when things are going poorly, not so much. I believe one aspect of the heart of Christmas is that Jesus came so that our joy would no longer fluctuate. It would be a constant. Knowing that the Christ child came here to this earth for you and I. I had breakfast with a pastor, a local pastor here. And he goes, JR, he goes, when I came to know Jesus Christ at the age of 21, Christmas took on a whole new meaning. It was different. It wasn't like the years before. We look in God's Word, we look at John and how he began his gospel letter. He gave a different perspective than the others. It didn't start from the manger or the magi. None of that was involved in the beginning of John's letter. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn to John 1:4. It's up there on the screen. And it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of truth, of grace and truth. What John described is known the incarnation. That's when God took on flesh. The Latin word for that, carne, which means flesh, that God actually put skin, and it's not, don't get that confused with carne asada, all right? Okay, all right. Whole different thing, all right? So he put on flesh, all right? And we see that in verse 14, it says the word flesh, word became flesh. And you notice that word, I think in every version of Bibles, that word is capitalized. It's not like small W word. It's big W, all right? He's called Word because he perfectly embodies all that the Scripture in human flesh by the way he lived here on earth. He took on this flesh. There's something to be said about someone who actually leads by example. And I think all of us can look at have scenarios in our life where something has taken place and all of a sudden that person's in leadership, and especially in the military, you're like, how's this guy going to lead troops? Or how's this person going to lead troops? They've always done this. They don't know the first thing about left, right, left. I know that you've seen it. I know that I have. You don't have much respect for those, but for someone who's been there and done that, you're like, oh yeah, I'll follow that person. And that's what God did. He took on flesh and set the example in that he walked this earth in this kind of, in this manner, but never sinned once. He said it's doable. Well, it was doable for him. But to say that he walked this earth the same way that you and I have, and have gone through everything we have, there's something to that I grasp a hold of that and say, okay, he's done that. And I can follow him. This passage gives us two reasons for the joy that does not have to change with season or shift of a situation. It can be constant in our lives and grounding attitude in everything that we face. So the first thing is we can have joy because God came to us. That's what I've been speaking about. The common misconception people carry around with them is that in order to be reunited with God, that there's some type of crucible that they must navigate. There's hoops that they must go through. One of the greatest robbers of our lives is to thinking that we will never be good enough. Have you ever felt that way? I have. I'm just not good enough. I'm not good enough to, you fill in the blanks, dot, dot, dot. I'm not good enough to be a children's pastor. I'm not good enough to be a pastor. I'm not good enough to lead worship. We are broken and flawed people who hurt others. We make mistakes. Sometimes we live a selfish type of life. If we are relying on our own abilities to earn the connection with God, newsflash, it's never going to happen. Not living like that. There was a pastor. This story was written in the Discipleship Journal. Paul Thigpen wrote about an encounter with his dog. His daughter. He remembers coming home. He just cleaned the house. It's nice, spick and span. And he walks in, and there are pots and pans everywhere. Flour, sugar, ingredients, chocolate chips, everything is all over the place. And he's like, you've got to be kidding me right now. I just cleaned this house and now it's not the way I left it. And he's looking around and he's like, oh man, who did this? And so he knows who did it. It's his little daughter. She's been in the kitchen. And so wanting to do something nice, I guess, and it's revealed when he finds this little note in amongst all this flour and everything all over the place. The note says, it says this, I'm making something for you, Dad. And it was signed, Your Angel. And as a dad, I'm just saying, you know, you can't be mad now. You can't even help it. I mean, all of that was the intention of baking some very chocolate chip cookies with mess everywhere. And despite the irritation that he felt, joy suddenly filled up inside him, like, my little girl did this for me. He could take pleasure in seeing her hand at work in the situation that seemed otherwise disastrous. The same thing is true for our joy in God. Many times life can look very messy and disastrous. It can be hard for us to find a reason for joy in the circumstances that we may currently be in. However, if we look closely, we might see God coming near to us like he did the first time he came to us in a manger. All that was going on, and he came to us as a babe wrapped in cloths. Christmas night, he let us know he is making something for our lives when we are tempted so often to feel hopeless. Joy is at the heart of Christmas because knowing that we could never make it with him, God came to us. It is the only religion in the world where the deity comes down to us, comes down to mankind. All other deities, it's like we've got to climb a ladder. There are hoops that we must go through, things that we must achieve before we can consider ourselves one with that deity. But Father said, no. No, why? Because you'll never make it. If you try to climb up to me, it's just not going to happen. The only way we're going to be close is if I come down to you. Paul makes this statement in the book of Romans as he insists we can be saved through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For Paul, it's not like a list of the things you've done right or the things that you've done wrong. The gift of God's grace is offered to us generously without a price because we could never afford that price. He paid the price. This is why the characters in the Christmas story are so overjoyed. I spoke of that the first Sunday, right? The shepherds, they're like, those were the lowest of low people. And then he goes to them. And he goes to Simeon in the temple. Remember, Simeon said, hey, I don't want to leave this place. I don't want to see this place and see the Christ child. Father, will you let me hang around until then? And then Simeon got to see the Christ child. Because a long-awaited arrival of the Messiah meant God had finally come to rescue him. The second reason joy can be constantly a reality for us in our lives is because of how much God loves us and how he's committed to our transformation. I know that most of you have heard this. God loves us the way we are, but he loves us too much for us to stay that way. He's like, I love you, JR. Hey, I love you, man, but I love you so much, I don't want you to stay where you're at. And that's true for everyone here. He says, hey, I'm not going to push you to the curb. I love you. Come here. Man, you are dirty. But come here. Then, because of our relationship between one another, I think you're going to want to clean yourself up, if you will. Live a promising life. One, a life that speaks of the relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father. When you look further in John chapter 1, we find the author telling his readers that it is through Jesus that we see the glory and fullness of God. His arrival among us should fill us with joy because not only did God come close to us, but he came because of one reason. Because he loved you. He didn't have to do anything extra. He is the I am. He needs to do nothing more. but yet he does. Do you realize that you are loved by the I Am? All of you. All of you are loved by the I Am. John says that this love that God has for us is like that of a father to his children. Jesus came from the Father full of grace and truth. And the key to understanding our second reason for abiding in joy, when Jesus came to us, he came full of grace. This grace that John writes about in the Greek is charis, which means favor or kindness or a gift or a blessing, like a gift wrapped and shared with someone else. A gift that's given that is not deserved, but God offers it to us. Jesus also came full of truth. The word John uses here is the word Athena, which means divine reality revealed to man, or a straightforwardness. God holds grace in one hand and allows us to be accepted into his family. And in the others, he holds the truth and shows us the areas of our lives that must be transformed to life to its fullest possibility. In 1 John, he expounds upon this. 1 John 4:9, In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. The author insists the reason Jesus came to us and manifested his love among us is because he desires for us to find incredible joy in him. In order for this to happen, it requires a gift of truth and grace. It's the most loving thing to do for one another, to embrace with full acceptance and humble truth-telling. Grace is what shows up in a church parking lot. But that's because it is the way in which we are able to live with joy. Our Father, I feel like I can identify with these passages and how grace is full of truth. I don't know if it's ever happened to you, those of you who have been parents, where your kid has done something like, you're like, you have got to be kidding me right now. I'm hearing laughs. That's kind of like a subtle amen. You're like, you've got to be kidding me. What child of mine would do that? And maybe something is whatever it may be. I'll keep it safe here. Maybe it's, you know, your kid, you have a certain expectation of grades. You're like, you know what? I know you're an A student, A, B student. I think I heard that all the time when I was growing up. You could do it. You're just lazy, you know. Oh, man. But your parents, they're like, but when your kid is, when, and my parents, they knew that they would say that, but they honestly knew I wasn't an ABC student. But when I got one, it was rejoiced, like something other than band and gym, you know, and choir. I always got an A there. Those things meant something to me. But when you have that expectation you have on your kid, and you're saying like, A's. That's it. Francis Chan, I don't know if you know of him. He said that. He's like, he's from China, you know, he's like, Asian kids, everyone knows Asian kids are smart, right? But his kid came home with a report card that was so discouraging. There wasn't an A, there wasn't a B, there was a C+, and it just went down from there. And this kid was like, oh, what am I gonna do? I know my dad's gonna be mad. He's famous, and his kid really messed up. And his dad, her dad, she gave it to him, and he's like, What in the world is this? What in the world is this? Oh, we're going to talk about this. Have you ever done this as a parent? Oh, yes. We're going to talk about this. And Francis Chan did. He said, come on. What's your favorite place? Where do you want to go eat at? She's like, what? Well, where do you want to go eat at? She's expecting the worst. And here dad is offering an opportunity to go to her favorite restaurant. And they go to their favorite restaurant. And then after that, they go to her favorite ice cream spot. And she's like, what in the world is going on? What happened to my dad, the one who said, we're going to talk about this? Takes her to an ice cream place. Just a great night. Just a great evening. She can't take it anymore. She's like, Dad, what is going on? What's happening here? Well, it'd be easy for me to holler and scream and jump up and down. That's probably what you would expect. But I want this to be a lesson to you, because you don't deserve what you're receiving right now. This grace that I'm giving you, you definitely don't deserve it. And it doesn't give you a reason to have a jacked up report card next go around. But what I'm trying to say to you, what I'm exercising to you, is grace. I love you. I'm giving you something that you don't deserve. Our Heavenly Father sent His Son Jesus to a manger in Bethlehem because He wanted to dwell among us to demonstrate His amazing grace and life-changing truth. We can experience His joy in our lives no matter the circumstances, but we can be confident in knowing that God is with us and God is for us. Come on now. There was I spoke with this pastor and this week, and he said, JR, what's going on this year that, you know, that's making this a joyous time for you? You know, what have you come across? And as I sat with this very senior man of knowledge in walking with the Lord, I said the other day I ran into a guy in Fred Meyer's. And I'd seen him outside pushing carts. And it wasn't a good time. I think those guys should get snowblowers or something. Trying to push that snow with shovels, that's a bit much. But I seen him inside, and he was sitting down, and he was seated, and he had like electrical tape. Not like the other tape, like what's it called? Duct tape. That would have been ideal, but electrical tape. And he's like wrapping his boot up. And I'm like, man, that electrical tape isn't going to get it. That's not going to cut it. And I saw him, and he's working on both boots. I'm like, wow, that's pretty rough, you know. And I'm walking out the door, and the Holy Spirit... Sometimes he just really smacks you. And he did that day. There was no guessing. And it was like, oh, and that's all right with you. Oh, that's all right with you that you see that guy in a bind and his shoes are looking the way they are. He's trying to earn a living and it's cold. So I did like an about face because Father wasn't going to let me go. The Holy Spirit wasn't going to let me go of this. I mean, this is something I can really do, right? Hey, man, I don't need to say my name or my position. I'm like, hey, they got some shoes like this here in the store, right? He's like, yeah. He goes, I said, why don't you let me buy you a pair of shoes? And the cash register lady, she sees what's going on. She's smiling and she's like, man, because he needs a new pair of shoes. I'm like, come on, let's go get you the extra Tufts, right? Let me get you a new pair of extra Tufts. And he looks right at me like, no, I'm not going to let you buy me a new pair of shoes. I can do it on my own. And I can get that. I get that. But I'm like, man, come on. Your feet are going to get wet. You're going to be miserable. Let me get you a new pair of shoes. He goes, no. I'm doing it my way. And I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, you saw. I tried. I don't know what else I could have done. And Jesus Christ is saying the same thing to you. You are messed up. I have something for you. I sent you my son, Jesus Christ. So you no longer have to live in that kind of pain. You can have joy unspeakable. And what I want to happen is not like what happened with this guy that I try to help. For us, I think so often we're like, it's okay, I really don't need you. I don't need your love. My heart aches that way. That people would say, I just don't need Jesus. There's a lot of people saying that. And they definitely do. This man of seniority just looked at me and a voice of affirmation, you know, words of affirmation came from him and saying, hey, you're on the right track. So. There may be some within my hearing that know exactly what I'm saying. It's piercing you right now. That God sent his son for you. For you. No matter where you're at, no matter how much you've messed up, he's saying, I don't care. And I always say this, he's like, pulls out the Etch-a-Sketch. Says, okay, all right. Now that we're starting over, and you're going to let me have the controls of the two knobs, let's do this together. Questions. I have these weekly questions, and I'm going to give them to you right now, and so you can jot them down. And I trust that you're engaging in these questions in your life this week, this past week. The first question is, why does the joy we experience in life seem to be so circumstantial? Why is that? I could answer that, but I'll let you do that. Second question, how is the incarnation unique to the Christian faith? Incarnation, where God took on flesh. How is that unique to the Christian life, Christian faith? I might have answered that while I was sharing. How does it shape your ideas of sin and forgiveness? It's kind of a 2A question. Number four, when was a time in your life that you received grace? And how did it make when you received it? You remember that time when you should have got a lot more from the stick, if you will? But you got that lollipop of grace, something sweet and succulent. When was the last time in life that you received grace, and how did it make you feel? Lastly, how can your deep abiding joy impact the world around you? Oh, that, if you're trying to figure out which question to answer first, go to that one. That's got to be the easiest one of all. How can your deep abiding joy, the joy that you have in Jesus Christ, the one who came and put on skin, impact the world around you? Just live it out. Heavenly Father, this morning, Father, I pray that what I shared this morning was about you. I pray that I wasn't all over the map. And I pray that those who were listening to me this morning got it. That the joy that you offer, that sustainable joy that you offer is available to everyone. And regardless of what we're going through in life, the fact that we know that we have you with us, that we should have joy in that. We should always remember that. Man, our Heavenly Father came down this earth to give me joy through the birth of His Son in a manger, who eventually would give up His life so that I could have joy everlasting. And not only that, did he die, but He rose again. Oh, how can I not have joy in that? Father, I pray that this morning that during this season, we would live out the joy that you gave us on Christmas morning. In your name I pray. Amen.